Isaiah chapter 14, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God. For the Lord will have mercy on Jacob, and will yet choose Israel, and set them in their own land. And the strangers shall be joined with them, and they shall cleave to the house of Jacob. And the people shall take them, and bring them to their place. And the house of Israel shall possess them in the land of the Lord for servants and handmaids. And they shall take them captives, whose captives they were, and they shall rule over their oppressors. And it shall come to pass in the day that the Lord shall give thee rest from thy sorrow and from thy fear and from the hard bondage wherein thou wast made to serve, that thou shalt take up this proverb against the king of Babylon and say, How hath the oppressor ceased? The golden city ceased. The Lord hath broken the staff of the wicked and the scepter of the rulers. He who smote the people in wrath with a continual stroke, he that ruled the nations in anger is persecuted, and none hindereth. The whole earth is at rest and is quiet. They break forth into singing. Yea, the fir trees rejoice at thee, and the cedars of Lebanon, saying, Since thou art laid down, no feller is come up against us. Hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. It stirreth up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. It hath raised up from their thrones all kings of the nations. All they shall speak and say unto thee, Art thou also become weak as we? Art thou become like unto us? Thy pomp is brought down to the grave, and the noise of thy vials. The worm is spread under thee, and the worms cover thee. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, the son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, Is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of the prisoners? All kings of the nations, even all of them, lie in glory, every one in his own house. But thou art cast out of thy grave like an abominable branch, and as the raiment of those that are slain, thrust through with a sword that go down to the stones of the pit, as a carcass trodden under feet. Thou shalt not be joined with them in burial, because thou hast destroyed thy land and slain thy people. The seed of evildoers shall never be renowned. Prepare slaughter for his children for the iniquity of their fathers, that they do not rise, nor possess the land, nor fill the face of the world with cities. For I will rise up against them, saith the Lord of hosts, and cut off from Babylon the name and remnant and son and nephew, saith the Lord. I will also make it a possession for the bittern and pools of water, and I will sweep it with the besom of destruction, saith the Lord of hosts. The Lord of hosts hath sworn, saying, Surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass, and as I have purposed, so shall it stand, that I will break the Assyrian in my land, and upon my mountains tread him underfoot. Then shall his yoke depart from off them, and his burden depart from off their shoulders. This is the purpose that is purposed upon the whole earth, and this is the hand that is stretched out upon all the nations. For the Lord of hosts hath purposed, and who shall disannul it? And his hand is stretched out, and who shall turn it back? In the year that King Ahaz died was this burden. Rejoice not thou, whole Palestina, because the rod of him that smote thee is broken. For out of the serpent's root shall come forth a cockatrice, and his fruit shall be a fiery flying serpent. And the firstborn of the poor shall feed, and the needy shall lie down in safety. And I will kill thy root with famine, and he shall slay thy remnant. Howl, O gate, cry, O city, thou whole Palestina art dissolved, for there shall come from the north a smoke, and none shall be alone in his appointed times. What shall one then answer the messengers of the nation, that the Lord hath founded Zion, and the poor of his people shall trust in it? May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. Well, Isaiah chapter 14 is a great chapter of comfort for God's people. In the first portion, we have verses 1 through 3. Note the things that the Lord speaks to his people. Now, remember that Israel here, really the southern kingdom Isaiah is speaking to, Judah is a nation that has seen the northern kingdom pass away. Assyria has come and destroyed the northern kingdom. But notice here in Isaiah's day that the Lord speaks peace to his people in these particulars. Note, he speaks of mercy. He speaks of election. He speaks of deliverance. He speaks of their populous estate, the possession of their inheritance, the conquering of their oppressors, rest from sorrow and freedom from bondage. This is what Isaiah speaks to the people of God in his day. Now they might look around and they might say, it's not looking very good. It doesn't really look like all those things. But these indeed are the promises of God to his people in every age. Freedom from oppression, mercy, our election is sure, deliverance from evil and from our sins and from the judgment of God, a populous estate, possession of our inheritance, conquering of our oppressors, rest from our sorrow, and freedom from bondage. These are the blessings which our great King Christ has purchased for us. This is an encouraging word. No matter what age it comes to, it is an encouraging word. Then in beginning in verse 4, we have the song, right? Thou shalt take up this proverb, against the king of Babylon. And we must pull up the reins here for a moment and speak against a particular interpretation of this passage that is indeed quite popular today. Long about verse 12, there are many Bible expositors that stand in pulpits today and tell you that what Isaiah 14 is about is that it's about Satan himself. Let me tell you what I think about that interpretation. Balloon juice. It's not. We're not talking about Satan here. We're talking about the king of Babylon. The context is extremely clear. We're talking about the king of Babylon, and the king of Babylon himself will be thrown down. The king of Babylon himself is that one who sought to raise himself up into the throne of the Most High. You remember, if you've read the book of Daniel, that we have a king that did that. That we have a king that set himself in the room of God. Hath not my hand done all these things? And what did the Lord do to that king? Well, he made him eat grass like an ox. He turned him into a beast, a king who arrogated to himself divine prerogatives. You understand the importance of that. That all kings ought ever to reign as those who were ruled by Jesus Christ. And so when they rise up and begin to arrogate, children, I know that's a big word. It means to gather to themselves arrogantly. When they arrogate to themselves divine prerogatives, when they begin to say, my power has done all of this, and they don't acknowledge the Lord. When they say to you, I'm going to provide for you as king, instead of acknowledging that they have means, but the Lord has the ends. When they, and it doesn't really matter if it's in the church or in the state, if a churchman tells you, you'll worship this way because I say so, he has arrogated to himself divine prerogatives. In the church and in the state, we see all kinds of abuses throughout the history of mankind. And so, Isaiah chapter 14, verses 4 through 23. 4 through 23 is a proverb concerning the king of Babylon, a historical figure who stood up arrogantly against the Most High and brought or credited himself with divine prerogatives. And you know what that the Lord our God does not brook competition. He will not give his glory to another. He will not allow kings to rise up for very long and arrogate to themselves those kinds of prerogatives, those kinds of authority, or that kind of authority. He will bring them down. You know what's really ironic about that is that if we read through that account in the book of Daniel, we find that it was God who raised up Nebuchadnezzar, that it was God who raised up Cyrus, that it was God who raised up Darius, that it was God who raised up those Medo-Persian Babylonian kings, and that they themselves took the raising up of the Lord to their own hurt. And the Lord then cast them down. Well, this is a good lesson for us all, isn't it? What are your talents? What falls in your wheelhouse? What are you good at? I'll bet you that if maybe in between services today I went around the room, you know, one by one by one, that you could all tell me something that you believe you're good at. Are you acknowledging the Lord in that? This is an application to us all, isn't it? The king of Babylon recognized he was good at ruling, good at conquering. And he refused to acknowledge the Lord. And he said, "It's the power of my hand that's done this." He said, "I'll be esteemed of all of my people that I have conquered like a god." You know what that means, to be esteemed like a god, right? That means to have people looking to you. That's all it means. It's not that you necessarily believe yourself to be divine. It's that you refuse to acknowledge the divinity of the God that is. And so that king of Babylon was thrown down. Notice the Lord in his proverb here makes him even a mockery, right? The rest of the kings of the earth that he has conquered, the king of Babylon, they say to him, "Art thou become weak as us?" How amazing. Brothers, sisters, let us remember this. That as soon as we begin to arrogate to ourselves things that don't belong to us, that there will come a day when those things will be taken away and we will remember how weak we truly are. Let us remember them, God, and not enter into competition with Him by seeking our own glory in any way, by giving Him glory at every turn. All right, then verses 24 through the end of the chapter, two entities are addressed: Assyria and Palestine. And so, what's Palestine doing about now in the history as Isaiah is writing? Well, Palestine's trembling because Assyria has come from the north and taken care of the northern kingdom, Israel. And Babylon's hot on Assyria's heels because Babylon will conquer Assyria and take over all of that space that Assyria had previously conquered. And so, Palestine is saying, "Ooh, this is not a good time." But the Lord says, "I'm going to break Assyria and I'm going to break Babylon." And so Palestine is saying what? Yippee, right? And then the Lord turns to Palestine and he says, "Don't you say yippee. You haven't called on my name either. Don't be so proud. Don't be so arrogant. Don't be so self-assured because your enemies are being conquered, because then I'm going to turn and I'm going to conquer you as well because you've not called upon my name." It's a very interesting passage. Notice, "Rejoice not thou, whole Palestina, because the rod of him that smote thee is broken. For out of the serpent's root shall come forth a cockatrice, and his fruit shall be a fiery flying serpent." You thought it was good that Assyria was conquered? Out of his root, here comes Babylon, that fiery flying serpent. You see, there is only salvation in the Lord. And so the Lord tells Palestine, if she would be saved, she must turn to Zion. What then shall one then answer the messengers of the nation that the Lord hath founded? Zion, the poor of his people, shall trust in it. Thus ends Isaiah chapter 14. Very interesting, instructive, fascinating chapter. Let's stand and continue praising.